Thank you, friends, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hello.
Asa Gray.
Again.
Now I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. Nothing went wrong. Don't worry about it. It wasn't hardware. It was just me. All right. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Pokemon Direct hits. We're going to talk a little bit about that towards the end. But first, we got a Morbius trailer.
Sure did, Meg.
Sure did. Sony desperately needs to learn what teaser means.
Uh-huh.
No, it's every movie studio, period.
We get, like, the Ghostbusters teaser. The Ghostbusters, yes. Isn't Ghostbusters Sony? Now that I'm thinking about that.
Couldn't tell you.
Hunter, help me. in the future. People that are listening now, we're not going to know for a minute. But anyway, yeah. Either way, the first Ghostbusters teaser was perfect.
Yeah.
Because it was just...
A barn and the car.
Yeah. The Ecto-1, just the tarp flies up and that's it. That's your teaser. That is a perfect teaser. This was a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We got the plot synopsis. We got the big bombshell, which if you guys haven't seen the trailer, I'm really sorry if you don't want this spoiled for you, but Michael Keaton just shows up at the end of the trailer.
And it's got to be as Adrian Toomes. It's got to be as Vulture.
He's wearing the
exact same jumpsuit that he was wearing at the end of Homecoming. Like, so that's his prison outfit from there. And just like, there's so many questions.
So many.
Because even earlier in the trailer, there is it's a picture of Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
From the PS4 game.
It's the homepage of the PS4 game, but it's in the Raimi costume with Murderer spray painted across it, which ties into the ending of Far From Home. So this is just, there's so many questions. Like, so does this mean that Morbius is in a shared universe with the Spider-Man section of the MCU? Are they both in the same universe as Venom? Because we don't really have anything to know that would tie Venom to this yet, other than it's the same studio, it's Sony.
The only thing that we have is that Marvel and Sony
mm-hmm.
both openly stated multiple times that Venom is in a separate universe from the Spider-Man movies. So, I mean, they could retcon that, they could decide to change their mind on it, but that's fine. We'll leave Venom alone. It very much, though, does look like they're going to make Morbius part of the MCU.
Or are they? Or is this just part of the agreement that Sony can say, hey, this is all technically part of the MCU. Meanwhile, Kevin Feige and the MCU proper can just be like, okay, Netflix.
I was actually just about to make that comparison. Yeah, it's just going to be just like the Netflix series. Like,
and just don't acknowledge it at all. And then they have their own continuity that doesn't actually, like anything that happens over here in the Sony movies just doesn't matter. Like, they can't make any grand sweeping changes to anything that would actually impact the MCU.
Right. So, like, all of these Sony movies are never going to be able to play with Spider-Man.
Right.
But they can definitely play with characters that were in the Spider-Man movie, hence Vulture.
Or can they? Because, like, I don't know. It's
extremely weird. It was a bombshell. They dropped a huge bombshell at the end of that trailer. I was watching the trailer. I was like, this looks pretty entertaining. I might enjoy this movie. And, like, yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. I thought that Leto, him with, like, the super long hair and the really scruffy beard and everything, I spent a solid, like, 10 seconds, like, Jake Gyllenhaal?
A lot of people did.
I was like, Morbius was supposed to be Leto, right? And I'm looking at it, like, oh, nope, that is, that, mm-hmm. okay, all right, nope, that's my bad. That's on me. That was, yeah, no, it was crazy. It was crazy. Vulture.
That said,
in this movie.
This trailer did nothing to, like, make me want to see it. Other than I want you to see it so you can tell me whether or not, like, how this MCU tie-in works, because this is like watching this trailer. It felt like one of those I made a computer AI watch 100 hours of generic superhero movies
and had it make a trailer.
Let's see. I also
because really, like it's gritty, it's dark, it's brooding. It's got the slow version of a piano song that Tenacious D did way better.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah, I know I'm not. it's dark, sad past for the person, misunderstood anti-hero thing. Like it's at this point I'm just burned out. Like it reminded me too much of Venom. Except Morbius is a much, much lamer character than Venom is.
So I just can't really get excited because I know nothing about Morbius.
Oh, well,
the living vampire.
Don't worry. Yeah. He's got echolocation, which is super handy. He's not blind.
It's okay. As soon as I was seeing bats and then talking about blood, I'm like, did they reboot Blade?
The echolocation thing also really got me. I'm like, are you kidding me? What use could he possibly have for echolocation?
There's going to be a fight in the dark that we can't see. Which is good because
he's going to talk to dolphins.
Given the ability for the graphics or the effects ability of Venom, I don't want to see a hyper CG fight done by Sony.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because that Venom fight was so bad.
It was so bad.
Like that was early 2010s CG levels right there.
I'm pretty sure I blocked it out because I don't remember it, but I know I watched it.
It was really bad.
And I'm kind of dunking on this unnecessarily. Like, this is the most interesting version of Michael Morbius that I think we've seen in a while.
Certainly on screen. Like,
definitely on screen. But it's because he's kind of a throwaway character. Sometimes he's very much a Sabretooth.
Shannon said he was very gray when I asked about him. I'm like, so is he a bad guy? Is he like a Venom character?
However, whoever's writing him needs him to be. Sometimes he's a mindless, just vampire villain.
Other times he's a
difficult and a complex character who wants to do right, but
does
these
bad
cravings
things.
He just gives into.
It really depends on if
he's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
If it's a solo book, then it's the latter what Ace was referring to there. If he shows up in Spider-Man, mm-hmm. then usually he's a villain, unless he has a solo book running simultaneously, and then he'll just be kind of like the Spider-Man. He'll show up in Spider-Man and be like, oh God, now I've got to deal with Morbius. Mm-hmm. And then Morbius is like, nah, bro, I'm on your side right now.
No, it's cool. Don't attack me.
So he's like the moody next-door neighbor that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, a little bit.
One thing I will give it credit for, he has a thirst for blood. Not plasma.
Blood.
Not the 90s cartoon workaround of, well, we can't show a vampire on this television show. We won't allow punching. So he feeds on plasma, which is a whole other thing. Don't worry about it, kids.
Don't look into it.
I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Because so at the end, we saw the actual transformation. We got that look. Looked fine. And it looks like he's going kind of hard vampire.
Sure.
Do you think the cut he gave himself on the hand and the bat seemed to crawl into or bite through the rain box, that was weird? I'm sure they'll explain it, but maybe don't hit it so hard in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Do you think that
was there for an unnecessary length of time.
Do you think that's how he's going to feed off of people? Or do you think he's going to get he's going to actually do vampire?
He's going to bite people.
Because it seemed like there was a lot of focus on, look, the hand has an opening now.
I think that there was just way too, I think that's just another one of those scenes that, that's the full length of the scene in the film.
Yeah.
They just spent way too much time on it in a trailer.
Okay.
They gave him the sharp teeth and everything. I'm sure he's still going to bite people. We saw him, cutting throats and stuff.
Cartoon Morbius had sharp teeth.
Yeah, I know, but we didn't see him cutting throats and stuff either. I think that was also in a different era where, comic book characters needed to be way nicer. Then, Deadpool comes along and do they though?
Joker got 11 Oscar nominations. If we can make rated R movies, this is great.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's...
They spent so much money to get those nominations.
So much money. Oscars are a sham. If you don't believe me, guys, YouTube it. Okay, so one of the things that I saw that I want to touch on really quickly, because I saw it in a lot of places on the internet, the Hawkeye TV series with Kate Bishop.
Yes.
There was a lot of reports going around from one guy that it was going to be delayed and it had been shelved.
Yeah, but he didn't give a reason why.
Yeah, he speculated on it a whole lot. He said mm-hmm. he kind of heard from some insiders that might be the case. But then another reporter reached out to a bunch of Disney reps, and all of them gave the same response that is completely inaccurate. So, yeah, Hawkeye is still on track. It's still coming. A lot of stuff about, Jeremy Renner recently apparently had some abuse allegations laid against him. They also have apparently struggled finding their Kate Bishop. That's been an issue.
So the story that I saw that said why, that this was canceled was... Okay, we don't have a reason why. There's a variety of reasons that it could be. One of them was the Renner stuff.
Yeah.
The other one was that the person that they cast as Kate Bishop is now suddenly famous.
Haley Steinfeld?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now it's a struggle being able to get her to be able to actually have an opening to film because she's doing so many things now that she's blown up.
Right.
And it's just like, so you're telling me she's not going to do a Disney thing?
That's what, like, I'm thinking.
A Disney MCU project is going to, you know, like, I don't know.
Does she not want that paycheck?
$1 gajillion? Yeah.
I mean, she's going to get a dump truck. Like, it's a Disney Plus exclusive, so it's not multiple dump trucks. It's just right. The one. So, yeah, no, I think if they wanted Haley Steinfeld, like, they'd have her, for whatever schedule they want. You know, let her finish whatever she, like, the active current project that she's working on, and then she drops whatever else to be in an MCU feature.
Unless it's something that she had to grow, like, a ridiculous mustache. So they'd have to, like, CG it off of her.
Oh, WB, you suck. All right.
Columbia does Ghostbusters, by the way.
Columbia, okay.
Yeah, I know that we've gotten 6 different answers in the group chat by now, but I need you to know that I found it.
Yeah, no.
Cody Hunter, you can rest at ease. Like, it's.
Oh, but now they've already told us.
Yeah, I know, but, like, go back. Go back in time, and it's undo, fine. We'll start a new timeline.
All right. Colin Farrell. We got a little bit of Batman stuff. Colin Farrell's possibly, very, very likely to be cast as Penguin in the Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the 100% conversation. Matt Reeves sent out a tweet with a gif of Colin Farrell and just saying, "Is that you? #Oz."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Oswald Cobblepot. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody's going toward, and that's what everybody's thinking. I'm not a huge fan of this casting. I'm waiting for Matt Reeves to be like, "Really, Cobblepot? That's what you guys got of it?" This was my introduction of the Watchmen into the series. This was Ozymandias.
No, sir. No. I can finally read that. I can't even think of the
Doomsday Clock,
because it's been so long since it started. Issue 12. I finally got issue 12.
2 years later.
I don't dislike this casting. Like, on the one hand, Robin Taylor Lord. I always get his name backwards.
I think it's Taylor Lord.
The actor that they got for Gotham.
Yes.
I don't like Gotham from what I've seen, but every bit of the show that I've seen with him in it, he is a treasure and he is amazing. That's kind of that's my new favorite version of Penguin, of Oswald.
Like, no, that's fair, because he did fantastic in that.
Killed it. It was great. That said, like, okay, so we have our new take on Penguin. I don't want another skinny Penguin. He did it, and he did it perfect. You're not gonna. I'm a huge fan of Colin Farrell. Like,
he's cool. Oh yeah,
he's very talented. I'm sure he's gonna do great, but like the whole like Josh Gad. Potential casting that fell through.
Oh yeah,
like that's the kind of person I want to see Penguin be a bigger guy. I just want to see him be this goofy, over the top, like
Danny DeVito. It.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the Penguin I like.
He did great too. I love Danny DeVito though. Like, that man can do no wrong.
No, he really can't.
Even Twins was all right.
Which is great.
It was great?
Yes.
I will still watch it if it's on TV. I really will.
My friend Ryan Hageman, who just got married a couple weeks ago, that's what I would always send him on his birthday. Of it's just like, it's me and you, because he's like 6'6" and just super strong and like handsome, and then I'm this. So I was like, which one am I?
So yeah.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see, like, but it also depends on how they portray Oswald, because he is he's another character that just depends on who's writing him. He can be this, like, super vicious, malicious mastermind who is cutthroat and dangerous in his own right, or he's just this chubby, goofy dude who eats raw fish and is just super loaded and has crazy penguin-themed stuff.
Yep.
And I love both equally, if I'm being honest.
See, I personally, my favorite Penguin is when he's the gangster, yeah. Or the straight up like mob boss Penguin,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Out for himself, will do whatever he, you know, whatever gets him cash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the Penguin that
The Iceberg Casino is such an interesting piece of Gotham history.
Yeah.
And like, just I think, and with Matt Reeves, I'm assuming we're going to get more of the gangster.
Because we've already got Falcone Carmine,
yeah.
Or Carmine Falcone.
Yeah.
Cast. I don't remember who now, but yeah, we talked about it a few weeks ago. So yeah, they definitely are going to be doing a lot of callbacks to like the mob rule area, and I have a feeling Colin Farrell's probably going to kill him. We'll see how that goes. All right, so while Asa looks that up, we got CW has renewed all of the all of their DC shows minus Arrow. And we knew that going in, Arrow's on its last season. I am now two seasons behind on all of those DC shows.
John Turturro.
Yeah, there you go.
That's going to be fun.
That's gonna be real fun. That's going to be real good. So, those of you out there, big fans of the CW DC shows, all of them got renewed. That includes the three, I guess. Legends of Tomorrow is still going. Batwoman was up in the air because, I mean, the internet is the internet. And then Black Lightning for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Though, actually, I haven't watched any of the current season of Black Lightning, but I'm only one season behind on that one as opposed to two on all the other shows.
I haven't seen any of them in a very long time. I haven't
watched any of them.
So I didn't bother to watch season four of Arrow. Is that the one that got real bad? Or was season three?
I think season three was on the downward trend and season four was just straight up bad.
Okay, so I didn't watch...
that was... whichever one had Adam Warlock in it.
Okay, I did not see that one. That's the season I didn't watch, and that's so the season before that is the last season of Arrow I watched.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of Legends of Tomorrow. I haven't seen any of Black Lightning, any of Wonder... or Batwoman... any of Super... Oh, no, I saw the first, half of season one of Supergirl. And Flash was the only one that I was actively watching. And the last season of that I saw was the chair guy with the helmet. I can't remember his name.
Oh.
Davros? Davos?
No.
Deimos?
I don't remember his name either.
I think that's an Assassin's Creed character.
And Davos is a Game of Thrones character.
The dude in the chair that was stealing people's powers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about, okay. But I don't know.
That was the last season of that I watched. So I'm super far behind on all of it, and I hope it continues to do well and it's successful and that people are enjoying it. And if people are enjoying it, I'm really happy that it's coming back for more.
There you go.
And Arrow's not coming back because they had already announced that was going to be their final season.
Yes.
The one that they wrapped up.
Yeah. So no more Arrow, and I'm honestly fine with it. I'm sure we're going to get a show spinning out of it. But I was so over the Oliver Felicity drama, and that's just kind of been going for a while. Yes, sir.
Okay, so because I'm so far behind on Arrow, and that show kind of was just a revolving door of characters at a certain point,
right?
Who would be left that you would want to see get spun out of it?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm three seasons behind.
Okay, never mind.
Oops.
I mean, it would be cool to see, I don't know if Diggle's still in it, but...
Yeah,
like,
what's happening with Diggle?
I liked that guy a lot.
He was awesome.
That's it. Because I know Canary's dead, though she may have come back to life.
Yeah, they did that a lot. They played fast and loose with a lot of those characters.
They really did, especially once they started introducing alternate universe characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we had Evil Canary back that was the
Laurel.
Dinah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It's fine.
We'll just move past it. the CW... all those shows that have been renewed. I still want to watch Batwoman real bad.
Mm-hmm.
I like Supergirl and Flash a lot.
And it's not that I'm opposed to watching any of them. At this point, there's just so many, and I'm so far behind, and there's so many other things that I need to watch and get caught up on and play and read that, it's fallen off my priorities list.
Yeah. No, anytime that I have time to just sit and, watch TV or something nowadays, watching those CW shows is at the bottom of a list, mm-hmm. and stuff just keeps getting added on top of it.
I'm genuinely surprised I finished The Mandalorian. It's just I never watch anything anymore.
The Mandalorian was one of those, every Friday, I'm like, here we go. I get home at, midnight, 1 in the morning, doesn't matter. Here we go.
Yeah.
Time for some Mando.
I got so mad the one Saturday that we were going to watch it when I got off work. And Shannon messaged me saying, hey, we're making an emergency trip up to St. Louis, so we'll watch it tonight. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm off at 4, and you're going to make me wait till 10. So I watched it when I went home anyways, and I watched it again when they came home.
There you go. No, that's the way to do it. All right. This next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Make sure you go by there for all of your comic book and coffee needs. You can get a tumbler to go for that cold brew. That's just something you can do. Put it in your refrigerator. Drink it later. It's good stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. So I've been so excited because I finally figured out which of the Dawn of X books I'm going to cut down on because I'm spending...
Because there's six.
spending so much money on X-Men comics.
Every 2 weeks we go up there.
All the money.
So much money.
All the money.
Every 2 weeks we go up there, there are 6 books we're buying, and those are only X-Men books.
Yeah.
On top of the rest of our pull list, so.
That's kind of hilarious.
Unsustainable is a word.
Yes, exactly. Because I think they're all twice monthly right now.
That explains a lot.
I think. Because it does feel like every 2 weeks we have all 6 of them to pick up. And the only way that's true is if they're twice monthly. They have to be twice monthly because issue 6 is coming out. And they just started these back. Yeah, anyway. So either way, I finally figured out which ones I'm going to cut. Especially like Fallen Angels is ending, which...
I was going to say, you didn't decide to cut Fallen Angels. It's just... Well, actually, no. You know what? In fairness, you had decided you were going to. Like, that wasn't
when
I
saw
until
that.
You saw I was only going, like, 3 more issues. You're like, well, it's that cartoon of, I guess.
That is exactly what happened. Because I finished up issue 3, and I'm like, oh, I'm done. I'm so done with this book. I'm like, oh, we're only going to 6. All right. I'll see where it goes. So, Leah Williams and David Baldean. I love this creative team. I really do. They're the ones that did Gwenpool Strikes Back. They've done a couple of other books that have been just great. They have been announced for X-Factor. The team is Northstar, Prodigy, Polaris, Rachel Gray, iBoy, and Dakin. Or Dakin.
I feel like Polaris is the only one of those I know.
Oh, Polaris is great. Yeah, no, a lot of those other ones are kind of weird ones. Northstar and his husband are going to be heavily featured in the book. Mm-hmm. So that'll be really cool. Like, they haven't gotten a lot of, like, screen time. I like how the Dawn of X is bringing back a lot of these, like... iBoy is on the list of worst X-Men ever, along with Skin.
I mean, your name is iBoy.
Yeah, guess what iBoy's powers are?
He's got a lot of eyes, or he sees real good?
Both. Both are correct. Eyes pop up all over his body.
That's so he's like the eye monster from Power Rangers.
A little. Fewer eyes than that.
Actual nightmare.
But yeah, he gets all the things that go with it. So like he has, you know, super good vision. So like he's a really good marksman and he can see like there's sometimes when he has like X-ray vision, he can see microwaves and all this other nonsense. So yeah, but either way, they've also brought back, we've already seen Beak come back.
Hoxpox made gold balls relevant.
Made gold balls awesome.
So,
like,
I mean,
he is a legend now.
Yeah, it's insane. Also,
which I love if you go back to, I think it's X-Men Blue, or is it X-Men Gold, where you have future Deadpool comes back. Like that's, I know that's it's a whole time travel timeline thing that you don't like very much. But yeah, somebody comes back and he's like, so am I famous? And he's like, who are you? Gold balls. Dude, you were a legend. And now it's true.
It's actually true.
It's actually true.
You did miss three of the members of the team of X Factor.
Who?
X-Pac, Just Incredible, and Albert.
Nobody gets that joke.
It's fine, but it's cool if you buy number one, you get an MP3 of the Uncle Cracker song.
No. No one gets that joke, but like Hunter.
Yeah, that's who that's for. The real ones know.
Oh, well, Derek probably gets it.
And that's
it
who
too.
That's for. The real ones. Not Enzo, though. He sucks.
All right. So it's also going to focus on the five, which what Ace was talking about there. Gold Balls is one of them. He is now Egg. You should know that by now, right? Like, that happens in Hoxpox.
I thought. I don't think it does. I don't remember them renaming him. I don't remember Frank Reynolds renaming him.
Yeah, he's Egg.
Does he offer Cyclops an egg in this trying time?
No. Cyclops just ends up in one of the eggs in that trying
time. All of them do.
They do.
Because they just...
No.
It's a super...
What division of Krakoa? What letter do I need a... department do I need to write a letter to of, hey... Work on your names. Like, I get it. But Egg,
okay.
Skin,
they're getting to the point they're just, like, picking body parts of people and animals.
He couldn't be gold balls anymore because they're, like, they understood them now as they weren't gold balls. They were
then
eggs.
He's the golden goose because he's laying the golden eggs, Jesse.
That would have been way better.
I know.
No.
I'm sitting right here.
No.
Just tweet that out at Hickman. Like, can you just retcon that
Listen
real quick?
Listen here, you hack.
Yeah, so I'm buying this book, though. Like, 100%. I love the creative team. I absolutely love, like, Rachel Gray Polaris and Dokken. Like, I love those guys.
Have we seen Dokken yet in this new...
No.
Okay.
We have not seen him, actually, since the Return of Wolverine stuff.
Okay. Because, like, he's another one of those characters where it's just, like... And maybe it's because I'm 5 issues behind on everything, and maybe they've addressed it, but, like, I'm really waiting for that other shoe to drop of, like, man, every single mutant seems to be way too okay with everything that's going on here.
They're just real chill.
Honestly, that's something I think that is going to come up at some point, because you've got a lot of villains that are just chilling.
Right.
You get one issue where, oh, God, I can't think of his name. Red suit, always has a sword.
Deadpool
with the Deathstroke. Yellow pony,
no, actual suit
with the yellow pony, like red suit. Not like
dark suit. Oh, what is that dude's
name? I know who you're talking. He's lame. I know who you're talking about, though.
But he's bad guy.
Yeah, he's a dork.
I cannot remember his name to save my life.
It's irrelevant.
Big time Warriors Code dude. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
He shows up in the Wolverine books.
Yeah,
like he was in those. Like.
Either way, he shows up, and I mean, like, he's a good guy. Like, you have Black Tom shows up and is a good guy.
Apocalypse.
That's the
end of state. Like, it's just
Mr. Sinister. Mm-hmm. Though you don't know what he's up to. Like, yeah, all these bad guys are showing up,
and they at least try to explain, like, Apocalypse and Sinister. Like, they give them
reasons for,
like,
being,
they,
and
they,
like,
dedicate chunks of the story to why they should be on board.
Where they're cooperating.
Yeah, and they have actual, like, honest motivations for them to, like, at least, even if it's just tentative.
Yeah.
Or in Mr. Sinister's case, like, he's always going to be shady. Like, he's getting exactly what he wants, but, like...
That dude's existence is shady.
But you know he wants more. And it's kind of, and for me, it's also kind of, like, the same as Apocalypse. And like, I'm just waiting for him to be like, not one at all.
And we've gotten some hints about, like, some Mr. Sinister stuff gone wrong in the future, mm-hmm. like, from Hox Pox.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure we'll get to see more on that. And I am waiting for this shoe to drop on that, like I said, because I think that eventually, like, I don't know if it's, like, some mind control shenanigans that's going on that's, like, keeping everybody...
Mellow.
Yeah. And wanting to reproduce, because that's a big deal.
Two doors.
Right? So I'm curious, like, if something's going to come out of that, like, or if we are just going to, like, accept that this is the new norm. So, yeah, I don't know. Either way, super excited about this one. I really, like, I haven't seen Polaris in anything in a long time. I think she was in X-Men Blue.
She was in one, yeah, it was Blue, because she was with it was her and Danger.
Yes.
Were, like, the quote-unquote, like, adults.
Yeah, the AI from the Danger Room, artificial intelligence that made herself into a person. Anyway, X-Men gets weird sometimes, guys.
Sometimes.
So we've got Outlawed. We talked about it a while back. It's the new book from Eve Ewing. It's going to be a whole storyline, plot line about laws for underaged superheroes, which the whole concept... in my opinion, is kind of wonky, because it's not like superheroing is like for the law.
Right.
Like the law is kind of against vigilante justice. Like the Daredevil book has been dealing with that for a long time. There was like 3 arcs in a row of trying to get like some laws made where vigilantes could like testify in court and stuff like that. Like it's kind of a big deal in that book. So like just to start off, like I don't really like the premise of this because... currently young vigilantes are being outlawed. Like you if you're under a certain age, you cannot be a vigilante.
Which doesn't make any sense because it's like vigilanting in general is outlawed.
Correct.
Like that's illegal. Don't let the kids do it specifically.
Yeah. So the premise just right off the bat, I'm like, really?
Peter Parker's walking by in full suit and then they're just like, hey Spidey, have a great day. Miles Morales just kinda like zips by, get back here. Well, that has some darker undertones, like scarier.
Yes, it does.
It really, really does. So yeah, way different reasons. Either way. So we're getting three series that are gonna spin out. Outlawed is gonna be a one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they're gonna create a new organization called, get this, Cradle.
I don't hate it.
That's the division that's going to be chasing down the young superheroes.
Really?
I actually don't hate that because it's almost insulting to the young heroes.
A little bit.
And I feel like that's intentional.
I think it's...
Because you're going to tell me that as soon as Miles Morales hears that Cradle is after him, like, him, Kamala Khan, like, they're all just going to be like, oh, listen here, you...
Yeah. Yep.
Which is going to play directly into what they're after, so...
Yes. Because the first book the first book that's coming out of it, we're getting a new Champions ongoing. Mm-hmm. We don't know any more than the team other than Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, Spider Miles, and Nova. So it's going to be Sam Alexander. That's going to be the three we've got in that book.
Who was on? So Amadeus Cho was
on
the previous team,
and Ironheart and Viv Vision.
Okay, never mind.
If I remember right.
Was there a
Cyclops was there,
okay,
too.
That's what I was saying. I was going to say, wasn't there a young X-Men that was part of it? But
And I don't know if a mutant's going to be part of this or not, because, you know, mutants kind of have their own thing going on right now.
Yeah.
And
they always have their own thing going on.
And I don't know.
Now
what,
they really have their own thing going on right now.
I don't know the status. I don't know what Viv, Vision, and Amadeus Cho or any of them are up to.
You got me. I know Viv is the only one that survived the Visions.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But... Yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, they say it like the first page. that was a really good book, by the way. Like, you should read that sometime on your Marvel Unlimited.
It's on the list. If I can log into it.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I still could. Like, I was just trying, like, throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Still couldn't get into it. So, the next book we got coming out of it, Daniel Kibblesmith and Luciano Vecchio, are working on a new Warriors book. Yeah, that new Warriors. Thrasher, Firestar, Rage, Speedball, Namorita, Silhouette, and they're going to mentor a new young hero team. So that'll be something. And when I say that one, yeah, that's the new heroes are the ones, or sorry, the new warriors. That's the team that started Civil War.
Okay.
One of them blowing up and killing almost 1,000 people or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah. Including a lot of these people. They're alive again. Or maybe they didn't die.
It's comics. It's fine.
Because I know like a few of those guys lived through that explosion, but I know for sure one of them died. But yeah, like I said, comic books. So they're back. They're going to mentor a new team. Presumably a new group, like maybe they're adults now. There's a new group of kids coming up. They're being hunted down by Cradle. And yeah, that's the tie-in story. And then the third book, Ryan North and Nico Leon are working on Power Pack. This one's going to be a 5-issue miniseries, and it's going to tie into Outlaw. And that's Power Pack is an older-ish comic. Just 4 siblings with superpowers. Somehow that's going to tie into it. I don't know exactly how.
Eh.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there's some people out there that are like, holy crap, Power Pack?
Mm-hmm.
And even I'm like, I've heard that name before. Somewhere, I think. All right, so yeah, that's all I got for that, though. Sean Gordon Murphy and Blake Northcott. Looks like they're going to be the creative team on a new Catwoman book in 2020. We don't know when it's coming. We don't know if it's going to be part of like the current DC canon.
Is this Murphyverse guy?
It is Murphyverse guy.
Okay, but it's not a Murphyverse book.
Because he said this has nothing to do with White Knight.
Okay.
He said that in a separate tweet.
Okay.
Because apparently he's going to be doing the covers, likely going to be doing the insides, mm-hmm. And they're going to be collaborating on the story. But it's going to be purely Catwoman,
mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I guess it's fair. We got a Batman book, Batman and Catwoman, and then a Catwoman book.
Catwoman book, because there is, so are they, is this a new book or are they taking over the current run? Because isn't there a Catwoman book running now?
Yeah, there should be. I don't know if it ended yet or not.
Because I remember the number one was like right after the wedding.
Yes. Yeah, it was supposed to shoot right out of that.
Yeah.
And I heard that it was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of held back by, you know, Catwoman was being used so heavily in Batman.
Yeah.
So they couldn't do much with the character.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Really good outside of that. Like, it's just like there were certain parts where you could tell they were being handcuffed a little bit.
Yeah. It also makes sense given that, like, Tynan has said that his Batman run is going to focus more heavily on Batman as a solo character because Tom King already has the Batman
yes.
Catwoman book going. So,
which I think is only supposed to be a 15-issue run anyway.
I don't need it.
And it'll likely be twice monthly again. So they'll likely, I'm going to guess they're going to run the Catwoman book after that. Maybe,
yeah.
But I really don't know. Like, I know, at least for the art that he's released so far, I say so far. He's throwing up two images that he just kind of drew. Mm-hmm. He's got Catwoman in a new costume with a new look and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. All right. I mean, it's not bad. Like, Sean Gordon Murphy's a phenomenal artist.
Yeah.
It's just one of the, like, I could absolutely see the image that he drew. Obviously, he draws the White Knight verse, so that works great there. And I would really like to see it inside that universe, but I don't know. I don't know where it's at. We'll I don't see. Know what they're doing with it.
Interesting team.
Yep, yep. All right. This next portion of our podcast. Yes.
So I was just curious that they were going to have, they're going to put him on a book that isn't part of the Murphyverse.
I was also, like, really confused about that.
But, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends at Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, including previous shows and social media links, at ps2jshow.com. All right, so starting off, the new Xbox Series X. We got confirmation from Microsoft that it will not have any exclusives for at least a year.
I hate that headline because it's not accurate. The way people are spinning that as Xbox is not going to have any, like, good games for the first year. Sony has all these Sony exclusives, so they're only going to have third-party titles. What this actually means is that if you don't buy an Xbox Series X, but you have an Xbox One X or an Xbox One, all of the games that are coming out for the Series X, you can also play on your Xbox One.
And see, like,
so Halo Infinite, you'll be able to play that on your Xbox One, not just, you won't have to buy the new console just to be able to play it.
And see, that's how I interpreted it, like, reading the headline. Mm-hmm. But I can absolutely, like, I didn't even think about interpreting it.
So many
it.
People are slamming yeah. Xbox and saying that, how can you not come out? You already botched one system generation, now you've already screwed this one up because you're not going to have any exclusive games.
Yeah, no, I did not think about that side of that interpretation at all. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, that's really unfortunate. Because yeah, no, that's what it means. Like, it's not going to have anything. Like, it's going to be cross-generational,
yeah,
I guess is the word you want to use for it. Yeah, like you said, Halo Infinite, you're going to be able to play it on the Xbox Series X or the Xbox One.
And if you have Game Pass, you'll be able to download it day one.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. not have to pay anything extra.
Download and play.
That's nuts.
Xbox is, like, a great environment to be in right now.
It's killing it.
It's real good. And, like, the Series X, you know, a lot of people are talking about the really confusing name. Like, especially, they desperately want us to just to call it Xbox.
See, that's why I want them, they need to hurry up and announce the Series S or whatever the yeah. cheaper Actual. Version. Because I can't remember where, but, like, I've seen it on a few different places. But the prediction that I really like is that you're going to have the Series X, which is the high end. This is the strongest console ever made. Probably going to be like $500.
Ouch.
PS5 is going to come in at $400 and do, it's going to be the PS5. That's, you got the one box, the one SKU.
Yep.
But then Xbox is going to announce the Series S, which is going to be maybe digital only, maybe a streaming box, maybe it's, you know, it's not as powerful. It's going to be $300.
I like
that. So you
that.
Have that. You so then you can start calling it the new generation is the Xbox, but they just haven't announced
what the Series second S is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because I that is definitely what their naming conventions. I could definitely see them doing that. And since they said they're just calling it Xbox
internally, yeah.
Yeah, the Series X is just the first one they're releasing to the public.
Yep.
They will likely, I'm sure that they will release another one, if not at release, then soon after.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think that PlayStation 5 is going to be the same price as the Series X.
Really?
I think so. Because I think they're finally, they got a lot of crap about they don't do native 4K on the Pro. Mm-hmm. And the Pro also doesn't have a 4K Blu-ray drive.
Right.
And, I mean, they were using that, like, to cut the cost of the system, which is why it is cheaper than the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
So but they've gotten a lot of crap for it. So I think that they do up the ante a little bit and keep or compete with Xbox.
Sony's also said that an executive from Sony said that, like, the most interesting features of the PS5 no one knows yet.
Neat.
Like, those haven't been leaked, those haven't been announced. Like, there's some stuff that this console can do apparently that is going to be a surprise. Also, did you see that Sony announced that they're not going to be at E3 again this year?
I did see that.
So, real curious to see when we get that PS5 reveal.
Right.
In proper, not just the logo.
Because yeah, that was the, so we got that news from Xbox. Mm-hmm. And then we got at CES, we got the official PlayStation 5 logo.
And it's exactly what you think it looks like.
Exactly. Like, I loved that video that I sent to the group chat of mm-hmm. just, like, somebody opening up Paint. they had the font, like they had the PlayStation font.
And they just put a five?
Yeah, they took away the four, put in the five, and then did the Dora, we did it.
Mm-hmm. That was... Someone did, and I don't know if it's real or not, but they took the P, they turned it upside down, and then just drew a line. Oh. And that makes the five.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, I mean, it's fine. Like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix
it. Yeah, it doesn't need to be groundbreaking. Like, everybody's dunking on it. Everybody's making their jokes, which, I mean, like, we just did, and it's fine. But, like, you would almost be upset if they, like, if they did something, like, radically different.
If they tried to go back to the PlayStation 3 Spider-Man 3 font.
I mean, I wouldn't be upset about that.
Because I always thought that was really funny. Because, yeah, they decided they're going to, for the PlayStation 3, they're going to spell it all the way out. It was going to have exactly the same font of the Spider-Man movies. that's all we got for PlayStation 5. We'll find out more eventually, probably. And then we got something kind of neat from Alienware. I say kind of neat. So they showed off the prototype for the UFO. Which is a handheld gaming PC. And this really does look like Alienware and Nintendo are having a conversation like, hey, can I copy your homework? I forgot to do it. And Nintendo's like, yeah, just change a couple things so it's not too obvious. Because this thing is straight up...
A Switch?
Yeah, it's a really thick Switch. It's got Windows built in, which is really cool. The hardware is pretty solid in it, but it's straight up. Like, the controllers disconnect, like, from the sides of it, like, to go out of handheld mode. It's got, like, a kickstand on it. It's got the little remote thing to combine the two into, like, a remote dock. Like, it is a Switch. Just a gaming PC as well. Like, instead of, you know, just a Nintendo console.
So, should I cancel the one that I'm going to get Friday? Like, seems kind of pointless to just get a PC if I can have the UFO.
Yeah, the UFO.
UFO.
That does not have it. It has one USB-C port, and it does support Bluetooth mouse and keyboard. I'm sure you could get a.
This is just one of those splitter. Why? Like, who is this for?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Who is this for? It's kind of neat, but it's Alienware, so you know it's going to be $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not going to have anywhere near like the power and performance of even a $600 computer. Because it's handheld,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It does make a lot of sense to me. It's running Windows, so you at least if it was Android, like you know, you could pitch it as one of the streaming services mm-hmm. where you're streaming games to it, which I guess they could do on Windows, but why? Like that's unnecessary.
Yeah,
I don't know. It looks interesting. Like I'm not gonna buy one, and you're not gonna be able to talk me into it. Shannon will. So we'll get to mess with it. Lindsay's sighing because she knows I'm right.
I mean, I can hope that it's wrong. He might play the game and, no, I don't need it. But then he'll see one at Best Buy or Micro Center and he'll buy it. Because that's what he does. Like, today I made the mistake of pointing out some retro-looking controller that he apparently was specifically going to go up to St. Louis to get, but he bought it today instead. Don't know if he's got to play with it yet or not, because at least he was actually cleaning when we went home.
There you go. This is a man that's also on his third Switch. It's very funny to me. I love Shannon. I do. Like I don't want to.
Is it his third? Are you sure it's not his fourth?
Because
I have the first one. He sold the Smash one. He got the Pokemon Light, and then he picked an.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is fourth. I forgot he gave his first one to you.
Yeah.
So he could get the Smash Brothers one.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
love you, Shannon. Not that you're gonna listen to this.
Yeah, he won't. But you know, in case somebody snitches, make sure you put in the part where we say we love him.
She's like, you know what? I've been silent this entire time.
Oh, no, he knows very well that I'm used to this game of how many times would he trade in a game and rebuy it and trade it in.
Yeah, but with something that's going to cost this much, Like, the Switch is, like, $200.
That's true. Like, yeah, especially after he gets, like, after he sells, like,
he's still debating on selling the Lite also.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I genuinely do not think that this is going to have, because he's got a laptop or a PC that can, mm-hmm. that's going to do better
yeah.
than anything that he can have. And I don't think that there's really anything that he plays actively on PC that yeah. he would actually care to take with him mobily.
Because I think it's one of those things, like, if this sucker is less than $600,
he might try it.
I think Shannon picks it up.
But I don't think Alienware has ever released something that
new. Even their monitors are more expensive.
And with new technology, you know they're going to charge out the wazoo.
I feel like he's always said he likes the look of Alienware, but he doesn't like Alienware.
Yeah, I know.
I could be wrong on that, but I feel like he doesn't like Alienware.
Well, because
the only reason he doesn't like Alienware is because how much it costs. Because Alienware is like you were paying for the name and the look.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That extra plastic that's at an angle.
Yeah.
And yep. the Alien logo, that'll be an extra $450, please, and thank you.
Yeah, which in the early 2000s, like, you know, there was nothing you could get quite like Alienware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was building your own PC wasn't super common in the early 2000s. Like, I mean, it was, but it wasn't like, you couldn't go to Best Buy and get all the parts you needed to build your own PC back then.
Right.
So Alienware with their big, like, custom gaming rigs and all that good stuff, and yeah. But anyway, yeah. The UFO. Look it up, folks. It is kind of neat. It's got RGB on the sticks.
That'll be an extra $100.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to hit that Pokemon Direct now. We got a lot of stuff out of that. And I'm really glad Lindsay's here for it because I know, like, I eventually did buy the game and I am enjoying it. I know Asa the same way.
I think I'm 10 Pokemon away from completing my dex.
She's very into it, though.
I have over 100 hours in the game already, so.
There you go. I have, like, 15. So.
I'm grinding to get to the 8th gym.
I think I have just completed the 6th gym.
I just got a pile of a pile of swine.
Okay.
Because he's at level, like, I went a little bit past, so he's at, like, level 36.
Do you like Piloswine or Piloswine, whatever that
is. Yeah, I like him.
Okay.
Problem with the Ice Mammoth?
The eighth gym is Dragon type, and he is Ice type. So
Dragon is the only gym I had to actually like swap my team a bit.
Really?
And that was with preparing with ice and.
See, I've always because this game tells you exactly what the next gym is going to mm-hmm. be.
Yeah, they hand you those cards.
Like I'm expecting to get like a pamphlet of the Elite Four and what types they are. Like once I walk out of the eighth gym. So I've always like been catering my team to whatever gym I'm mm-hmm. about to, whichever gym I need to one shot.
That's the only one I had to switch stuff up for. So was
I have
that
two.
One.
I was using a Bomasnow anyway because I needed a grass and I knew that there was eventually going to be a Dragon Leader. So I was like, I'll just
keep playing with
you.
Yeah,
I'll just keep using you. Which he's kind of a hoss now. I like
him. I'm surprised you didn't go find a Shellder to get your Cloyster.
I can't find one. I don't know where they are. If I had one, I would switch. But
is he in the game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He's in Galar.
I didn't know.
So
for
it's.
Sure.
I mean. So yeah. This new generation of Pokemon is fine. I had a lot of like once that I was hoping we would get that it just never was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But for the game that we got, it's okay. It's more Pokemon.
It is more Pokemon. All right. So with this Pokemon Direct though, even more Pokemon.
Yeah.
They announced Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX,
which I downloaded.
Yeah, but
is it out
already? The demo.
The demo is out.
I was going to say.
The game itself doesn't hit until March 6th.
Because they did the same thing when the original came out. They made it so you could download the demo, mm-hmm. and then it would go into your
and your data, your save yep. transfers into mm-hmm. the full game once you buy that.
Yes.
Yep.
I like that. That's also really cool.
Yeah,
I like
Nintendo's big into doing that, and I'm A-okay with it. Mm-hmm. You basically start out the game in the demo, and then you just kind of continue it when the actual game releases.
Yep.
And that's the one, obviously, you're a human-turned Pokemon.
Yep. And you take a little personality quiz, and based on your answers, it's like, you're this animal. And then you can still say no and pick something different if you don't like it.
is this one a remake of a previous one?
Yes, it is. It is a remake of the original two. They did Rescue Team Blue for the DS and Rescue Team Red for the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
Where it was the first in the series, and they've basically combined the two together because the first two missions in the demo are literally the first two missions from the original game.
Okay.
And this is why I'm glad Lindsay's here. Because I would have just looked at you like,
I'm pretty sure they said it. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw that it was a remake. I just wasn't.
Yeah,
cause
it is.
Because I played one of them that came out. I think one of the ones on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like the gameplay style.
I'd like the older, like this first one I really enjoyed. when it originally came out. So far in the demo, I've been enjoying it again because mm-hmm. it's been so long since I've played it. But yeah, once it got further into the series, like, I'd get them, but I don't think I completed them, yeah. like, at all.
Yeah, the only offshoot Pokemon game that I ever liked was Conquest.
Oh, I love Conquest.
And that was because it was like...
It was Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it was Fire Emblem and Pokemon. Pokemon. And I was like, ah, sold.
In feudal Japan.
Yeah, it's great. all right, so yeah, we got that hit. Then we got the big announcement that they're doing DLC for Sword and Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, you know, with the Pokemon games, we get like a 2.0, either one of each in the case of like Sun and Moon or Black and White.
Crystal, Emerald, yeah. Platinum.
Or we get, yeah, the number three, basically.
That Yellow.
Yeah. whichever one they decide to do that time around. This time around, we're doing DLC, which I definitely like a little bit more because they're only $30 each, but there's also two of them, so you're paying an extra $60 anyway.
Which balances out because otherwise you would be buying
a whole new game anyways. Yeah. See, I didn't look at it that way on it. Like, my theory is I'm going to buy it anyways. But then Shannon was all like, man, that's another $60 per set. And I'm like, yes, but you go, technically, I could just get it and give you the Pokemon you want.
True. And that, because yeah, that's something
don't
I was going to...
Because you can still... They're going to do a patch so that anyone that doesn't get it can yes. still get it through trades.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Home.
And Home, yes. That's what I'm waiting yes. for more information on is Pokemon Home.
So we got it February. It's supposed to hit.
I know. But they're supposed to drop more information before that.
Yeah, fair enough. So yeah, we'll get like a little bit more on that a little further down. So we got two parts of the DLC. The first one is Isle of Armor. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to hit in June. Then we've got Crown Tundra that's supposed to hit in fall. The Isle of Armor, they really fleshed out what that one's going to be about. Seems kind of cool. You go to this island. You train under Colonel Mustard.
I don't think he's actually Colonel Mustard. He's just called Mustard.
He's not Colonel Mustard, but I'm going to call him Colonel Mustard until the day I die. Because his name is straight up Mustard. Mustard. And he does wear a mustard-colored...
Gi.
Yeah, that's the word. It's silly. But either way, like the legendary looks kind of cool. You get Cub Fu.
I like my new rival. She's awesome looking.
Oh, is it the one with the Pokeball spinning around her head?
I don't know. Does she have a Pokeball around her head? She's got a big old bow on the back of her head that looks like you bleached dust ox.
Well, depending on which one you get between
mine's the poison one. It's the girl. The sword gets the girl. Shield gets the psychic guy.
Okay, well, because I think the girl has, like, Pokeballs, like, spinning around her head, I think.
I don't remember that when I talked to her when I got my Slowpoke.
No, fair enough. Maybe I'm remembering the wrong one. Either way.
I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, because that's available right now. You can go and talk to your will-be rival in Armor. That was an update they just released.
I forget which station it was, because when I went to go do it, I couldn't remember which station it was, so I literally went to every station until I found her.
Neat. So you can go there, and then you can find a Galar Slowpoke that you can then find an item, and you can evolve it to a Slowbro, Galarian Slowbro, in the first part of the DLC, or if you wait for... Crown Tundra, you can evolve it to a Slowking.
And I've already had three more of them traded to me, so people have definitely been breeding them.
There you go.
Do you have to wait, or is it? Do you have to wait to get a Slowking, or does Slowbro evolve into Slowking?
You have to use an item either way.
Well, yeah, you have to use the item. But
Slowpoke goes into either Slowbro or Slowking.
Okay, that's what I was confused. Yeah. I didn't know if it was like I couldn't remember if Slowpoke it was a branching evolution or it was a three-stage evolution.
Yeah, no, yeah, the psychic guy is the one with the balls flying around his head.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a girl.
No, it's a guy.
I'll be honest with you.
It's a guy. He's real special.
Nah, I mean,
I did not realize he had frilly socks to go with the frilly ascot.
I mean, it completes the image.
I don't know who y'all talking about.
The rival
the one with
for...
the pink hair and the big bow on her head.
Yeah, I don't know who those people are. Are those the new characters?
They're the new rivals.
The Isle of Armor.
I wonder if they will be amazed at my absolute uncanny ability to use type advantages.
Every single fight with that kid.
Will they say that they don't have time to prove that they're better than me after I've beaten them for the third consecutive time?
Oh, that little dude's really obnoxious.
Both of them are.
I mean, one of them is cool. Kind of endearing.
Every name, oh, for me, every named character.
Oh no,
is
Marnie is who you're thinking. Yeah, Marnie.
I like Marnie.
Yeah, Marnie's kind of cool.
Beat and Hop are just the dumbest. Like,
yeah, I can forgive Hop.
I get
Hop
that.
Is
I,
one
no,
of, like, that's
I can't.
Endearing.
No, I can't. It's not because. Oh man, every single time. Like, yes, I know. This is why you lose literally every single battle.
Have
you
looked at his big brother?
Yeah, his big brother should be like, how are you this stupid? Do you not watch my matches? Like, do you not understand?
But his big brother gets lost going to the next town.
Yeah, but he at least knows how to battle Pokemon.
So they really, their family is just one or the other.
No, they're just both dumb. They're so dumb.
All right, oh my, so no. Moving past it, though. So
his brother's undefeated. Did you know that?
Not anymore.
Well,
Cub
spoilers.
Cubfu turns into Urshifu.
Yes.
Which looks kind of cool. It depends on which version you have. If you have Sword, I think, he's Dark Fighting, and Shield is Water Fighting.
I don't remember it's by type, but you have the ability to evolve him a different way, depending on what fighting style you want.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought the video made it sound like it was one or the other.
I might have watched it wrong, because it said it had two forms.
Yeah, he's got two forms.
The Single Strike and the Rapid Strike.
Sword or Shield is my understanding.
That part I didn't pay attention to.
Yeah, that was my understanding of it.
Yep. But it could be either or, because I don't think they ever explicitly mentioned which version was which one, and I was curious about that, so I just assumed like they mentioned the Dark Fighting first, Water Fighting second, so I thought Sword Shield.
Either way, it's a legendary. You're likely only going to be able to get the
get
other one through trading.
Yeah,
because you won't
well,
be able to
breed
them.
That's why I'm still waiting for Shannon to finish his game so we can swap legendaries.
I would just much rather get that Dark Fighting one if I'm gonna. I say that like I'm gonna buy this DLC. I probably won't. Regardless, those do look kind of cool. Calyrex is the other legendary, and this thing just looks dumb.
It's weird looking.
Like, in the initial trailer, like, it looked kind of cool, and you only caught a glimpse of him, but then you see the artwork for him.
The thing I sent you.
That was pretty great.
Of the meme, it was the fighting type walking with this big-headed idiot, and just like, what gym do you go to? The library. What gym do you work out at?
You got the big brain.
Which machine are you comfortable with? The vending machine.
Yeah, like I said, the first like the glimpse you see of him like in the trailer, he looks
kind of
cool. Kind of
cool,
like,
and then you realize it's just this big headed thing.
Yeah,
it's like a walking bobblehead.
Yeah, because it's supposed to look like because it's grass psychic.
It's like a deer, but it's just got a big old head.
And its head looks like a dandelion.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
It's weird looking.
I mean, it's dumb.
It's silly. So either way, yeah, that's what you got going there. But also in the DLC, we've got Asa just looking up a picture.
Yeah,
of him
I just
now.
Wanted to remind myself that is what he actually looks like.
So anyway, we got all the old legendaries are returning in Crown Tundra.
Okay.
Yes.
So question now. Because I don't like that this opens a whole can of worms for legendaries.
Yeah, because now, multiple people can catch them in one shot because they're supposed to be like dungeon raids.
Well,
more
not
or
even
less.
That. Like, not even that at all. Just like so, red, blue, and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
There was only one. There was only ever one Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres. They were legendary. There was only one ever.
If you didn't catch it, you're done.
Right. And because it was the only one in the universe. Like, it was like, yeah, everybody has their own game, so they can be the one to have it. But, like, in the world of Pokemon, it was agreed that there was only the one.
Yeah.
But now we have Galarian forms
of
these legendaries.
But they look so cool.
Which they do. So, are we just admitting that there is no just single Pokemon? Like, they are all a species, just maybe they're just super rare. You know,
well, they didn't specifically say that it was Articuno, Moltres, and Zapdos, even though it's... And they very much are. It just says Galarian Legendary Birds.
It's true. Like, Lindsay's right. They never specify. So these could just be...
The Fire, Electric, and Fire Legendary Birds of Galar.
Yeah.
Galar.
They're still cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
They
look
super
awesome.
Cool
I'm just,
looking.
I wish... Because that's always been something in the Pokemon lore that's always bugged me.
Mm-hmm. Legendary
just, like,
Pokemon in general.
There's only the one. And then it's just like... Like, but everybody's got one. Mm-hmm. This doesn't fit. Like, for Arceus, like, I don't want to meet another 12-year-old that's just got God and a ball on his hip.
Because that's the thing that always drove me crazy about some of them. Because, like, once you get, like, further down, because, yeah, like, Lugia and Ho-Oh, like, as legendaries, you know, like, they're, like, these super mystical, like, forces of nature.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy that you can catch them and stuff. But right. But then, yeah, like you move on, like further, the further you get into the game, because I didn't play much between like Gen 2, I kind of stopped playing until X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
I tried Black and White, and so I played again in X and Y. And yeah, like I know in between that, you had, yeah, Arceus, you were catching God. You had Giratina and. Like that whole set where they were also just straight up.
The Poke Devil.
They moved past legendary and into deity.
Like deity, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I mean, you kind of almost are with that Groudon and Kyogre. With
because they created the ground and the water, and they were constantly at war over what the world should be more of.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, because that was the Team Aqua, Team Magma goal.
Gen 4 was space and time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you start moving past like these cool. Like forces of nature and stuff like that, and these legendary things onto like
to our actual being.
Yeah, which like it's cool that they exist, but catching them.
Yeah, but maybe
is the
I
part
should.
That bothers me.
And I get it; it's a video game. I'm looking way too hard into the lore of Pokemon as a 30-year-old. These are children's games. This isn't meant for me. I get it. I understand that I'm part of the problem, but like this is just who I am, and I am sorry.
So yeah,
that said, these do look awesome.
They do, like, yeah. Those legendary birds are really cool. Also, they said that they're adding over 200 Pokemon. That does include the legendaries that are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I read that wrong? Is there's 200 per expansion, or just 200 total?
They didn't say. They said there were over 200 Pokemon being added.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't specify how many were coming in each expansion.
Because we're at about half the decks if you do the full Galarian decks. So if they did 200 in each, that would put us back up to the 800 plus.
Right.
So that's in that. I was assuming that it was 200 between the two. No, like it's 200 total.
Yeah. Because they said there's going to be 200 Pokemon, including the legendaries. And the legendaries don't hit until the second
DLC.
Until the
other one. Yeah. Okay.
And that's what makes
and
me think.
And I could understand them holding back because if they are going to do the Gen 4 remakes, which everyone is waiting for. And
I was curious if I was... I'm also under words are hard. I'm also assuming that these aren't going to be the only new Pokemon that we get. Like, I would think that, like, it would make sense to have... new Pokemon in Crown Tundra or wherever.
For,
like,
with it still being the Galarian region.
Because a lot of these are going to be in the wild area type thing, so it makes sense for there to be more Galarian Pokemon, like Galarian exclusive Pokemon.
Or Galarian versions of other ones again.
I mean, yeah, we could get some of those too.
Yep. No, that would be kind of
cool. So I don't think this is just going to be 200 exclusive, like, from the original national decks that are missing now added. Like, we're probably
although we
a
are
solid
getting
chunk
them.
Of
we're
them.
Getting our Squirtle and
I was about to say, we know that we're getting a bunch of the starters coming back.
Good.
Because we got to see quite a few of those. And we also got to see Gigantamax versions. Venusaur.
Inteleon becomes a freaking sniper.
Yeah, we brought that up on the Thursday show that they turned like the mopey emo kid into the sniper.
Like he's supposed to be James Bond.
Yeah, he is a sleek, suave, like, but now he's got a harpoon, but it's like, okay, so, but is that the barrel, or, like, Jesse thought it might be the sight at the end of his finger there, and it's just now he's, because it is still coming out of his finger. Because
you see the still, like, regardless of what it's supposed to be.
He's in a
you
tower.
You see the still.
And he's got a...
You have the mopey, emo, crying Pokemon.
He got better.
Turned into the sniper in the tower.
Have you ever heard of the Ugly Duckling, Jesse?
Look... all I'm saying...
one time, one day, he put on the Black Parade, and it just didn't hit the same.
And he realized...
he listened to his mom, he listened to his doctor, he's up on his medication. Things are okay now.
Mom was right, it was a phase.
It was. So now they gave him a license to shoot at MFers, just willy-nilly. He has a move called Snipe Shot.
Yeah.
Like, already...
yeah.
So, I mean...
or he's just played way too much Call of Duty.
No, we can't put that in. They already think that's the cause of violent crime.
Did you see that they added Gun Game back?
I did. I do kind of want to play it.
I did one round, because I was already decided I was done for the night, and I was like, oh, Gun Game. They always talk about it being fun. I tried it. I was doing really well until it gave me a rocket launcher, and then I finished in sixth.
Ouch.
Because I could not get a hit. I was the only person with a demotion. Because a car blew up next to me as well.
Oh,
anyway, Pokemon.
All right, so yeah, I mean that's pretty much it for the Pokemon DLC.
For what we've gotten so far.
I will say, because the internet is upset because it's the internet, I like the fact that they're doing DLC ultimately for the price of a full game.
And also because means we don't have to wait a whole year.
Yeah, and like also, okay, so let's assume that they were going to keep their previous model.
We wouldn't get another game till next October.
Well, and not even for time frame, just like, yeah. Okay, so what they're going to do is they're either going to release a third game or they're going to release sequels to
each of them.
Sword and Shield each.
Yep. Yep.
So if they do that, that's $120 because there's no way. Because
I'll buy both again.
Yeah, and there's no way that Nintendo's going to charge less than $60 for a Pokemon release.
In fairness, it still seems like you're going to end up spending that money ultimately. Because if you have Shield and you buy the DLC, I think you still have to buy the DLC for Sword.
Yeah, you have to buy
well.
The DLC for both. Yeah. But like
it's the same thing. So say
price wise, you're
whatever spending. Game you have, you buy the expansion, and then you still do the trade issue with someone else that's got it. Yeah.
Oh, that is one thing that Lindsay briefly mentioned that I really wanted to hit on for a second. You don't have to, like we mentioned, the 200 Pokemon, like Squirtle, Bulbasaur, they're coming back. You do not have to buy the DLC to get them.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. You have to buy the DLC to catch them. But if you get Pokemon Home, which is hitting in February, or if you have somebody else that has that DLC, you can trade for it. Yeah. Like, you can have them in
you
your
can
party
trade
without...
Or you can port them from home.
I'm real curious. So we know that there's a Gigantamax version of Squirtle and Bulbasaur coming. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if the Squirtle that I have brought over from my previous generation, if that's going to be a Gigantamax.
What I understand is the dojo that you're at will let you teach Gigantamaxing two different Pokemon.
But isn't that part of the DLC?
Yes.
So you would have to buy the DLC be able to teach it to the Gigantamax.
Or trade it to someone that has it, have them do it, and then, I guess. I don't know.
But yeah, so if we get two Seek, but that's good. Like, you can actually access them. You won't be able to catch them, which, whatever.
Yeah, but as long as their data is in the game, you will be able to get them into your game.
Which, oh boy, if they launched Home and charged people for Home and said, oh, you actually have to pay for the DLC to actually be able to bring the Pokemon from Home into Galar, that would have been super shady.
PR poop storm right there.
Well, Home will probably be like Bank. There will probably be a $5 subscription fee.
They've already confirmed that it will be a paid service.
Because that's what my PokeBank is, which I need to double check whether or not I need to update that so I can transfer from Bank to Home.
That's why that would be such a crap storm, because you're already having to charge for Home and then the expectation of having to pay for the DLC.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they're not doing that, which is good. Also, if you buy a new game, it's like any other time you did this. Anytime you did Ultra Sun, like if you played Moon and then bought Ultra Moon, you started from scratch all over again.
Yeah,
true. So, you could transfer your Pokemon.
You could transfer eventually.
Yeah,
but like you still had to grind through the gyms and do all of that.
No, that's true. I didn't think about that as being a big
because when I started my Ultra Sun, I traded over level one birds. It's literally as soon as you get to the first Poke Center, you can trade stuff over because I have an entire bird team on that one.
Is Hawlucha on it?
Yes. No.
I love how.
But you still have to go through
He's in my reserve bank. But yeah, you still have to go through and beat each of the gyms and stuff.
You don't have to watch Hop be amazed at your absolute prowess.
You know type advantages.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with Hop in that manner anymore.
Ultimately, I think this is a better model. It ends up being roughly the same amount because it's either going to be $60 for the game you already have, the DLC for the game that you already have, or $60 for Sword, Shield, and Lance, like for Pokemon Lance or whatever the next one would have been. So it's like that ultimately just, I think it cancels out. So I don't understand why people are complaining there. Plus, you keep your progress, which to me is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people that are super upset about them releasing DLCs. Like, this should have been in from the beginning. Like, that's...
And there's a lot of things that I think, like, the problem with the internet, and especially, like, this generation of Pokemon games, is that a lot of the, like, super weird, absolutely, like, bonkers complaints that people have with this generation are completely outweighing and they're outshouting the actual genuine...
concerns,
like legitimate concerns, like you're gonna tell me that you're gonna make me sit through a concert that has no voice acting?
Yeah, that was so weird.
Like that's stupid. There's no reason that this is a series now that we're on the Switch doesn't have voice acting.
I was gonna say, I talked about it before. Like, it was designed to have voice acting.
It doesn't need it.
And they just decided, like, no, that's going to take way too much time and money, and you're not going to do it. And, like,
it doesn't need it.
I mean, Pokemon doesn't need it, but the game feels like it was designed
for it.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's jarring not having it.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, like...
Just because of how they designed the game, it is jarring.
Yeah,
that
again, like,
don't have
a concert.
Yeah.
That has full animations and people rocking out to, like, the same background music I've been listening to for 6 minutes, B to skip to the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot that, you know, this game could have done better, but ultimately I think the DLC is a decent kind of middle ground.
I think so, too. I'm completely okay with them doing DLC.
I know my argument with it to Shannon is that both of these areas are supposed to be bigger than the wild area in our current game, too. So it's not like you're just getting some little tiny
space. Adding a ton of extra space to it. So, no, I'm fine with this. I just, yeah, like I said, there, you know, I have a bunch of complaints with, like, Pokemon as a whole, but, I mean, at the same time, like, it's Pokemon. Like, we've talked about it before. We're just straight up not the target audience for this game anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, so, whatever. Like, we all complained about it. We all bought it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, because it is what it is. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hit us up on patreon.com/podzilla1985, facebook.com/podzilla1985, and you can also hit us up on Twitter, too, twitter.com/podzilla1985. You can find our individual accounts from there. All right. See you next time.